Hello, and welcome to Mr. Marr's History Podcast. Google Mr. Marr History to get more help with Nationals Higher and Advanced Higher History.
In today's episode, we're going to be discussing the emigrant Scots who went to New Zealand and the impact they had in that country. Although New Zealand is a huge distance from Scotland, throughout the 1800s and early 1900s, it was the choice of new home for a large number of Scots. Between 1880 and 1915, around one quarter of all UK emigrants living in New Zealand came from Scotland. And at this same time, around 70% of these Scottish emigrants had come from the lowlands of Scotland. Let's discuss the impact that these emigrant Scots had on New Zealand's economy and enterprise. There was a variety of economic impacts that the Scots had, including skills and also working in different industries, and also playing a significant role in developing the country's economy through the setting up of businesses. Farm workers were particularly needed in New Zealand. Many Scots took their farming experience and set up farms. They then influenced the country's development, including sheep farming and the introduction of other changes as well. In the 1870s, New Zealand's government borrowed money to develop the country's public works, such as railways, telegraph lines and roads. Many Scots went to New Zealand in order to help build these different items. Gold mining was another major reason for Scottish emigration to New Zealand. Discoveries of gold in the Otago area in the mid-1800s attracted different Scots to make the journey in the hope of making their fortune. It wasn't simply manual, industrial and farm workers that made the journey. Many Scots travelled to work as professionals. Teachers, lawyers, doctors and other trained people were persuaded to make the long journey and to start a new life. Scots also played a role in influencing the science development of New Zealand. They set up a medical school in Otago, and another Scottish emigrant founded the Geological Survey of New Zealand, promoting scientific research in the islands. There were numerous businesses set up by Scots in New Zealand, making them money and also creating jobs for others. This included the Union Steamship Company that was funded with investments from Scots such as Peter Denny. Peter and David Duncan from Forfar were engineers who set up a company to sell farming equipment. And other Scots were heavily involved in New Zealand's paper-making industry, either through logging or paper production. The Scots played a role in other industries too. The National Bank of New Zealand was set up in 1872 with an emigrant Scot, Alexander Kerr, as its first branch manager. And in 1843, William Brown set up a newspaper called the Southern Herald. Emigrant Scots in New Zealand also had an impact on the country's culture and religion. This included the introduction of new traditions, as well as having an education and political influence as well. Some Scots who made the journey to New Zealand did so as missionaries, trying to spread the word of God. This involved them trying to convert native people, but also setting up churches across New Zealand's islands for emigrant Scots who had moved out. Many of these Scots were Presbyterian, and the churches that they opened allowed Scots to continue to practice their faith. The Reverend Thomas Burns, who was the poet Robert's uncle, was sent by the Free Church of Scotland to open a new settlement. A great many educational establishments were opened by Scots. The University of Otago was opened by Scottish emigrants, and later the country's first medical school was opened in the same area, and this was partly staffed by Scots. Other Scots opened schools, often being taught based on the Scottish curriculum. This includes Otago Boys High School, which was set up in 1864, and Otago Girls High School, which is set up in 1871, and this was in fact one of the world's first all-girls schools. Some of the migrants played a role in New Zealand politics, participating in local and national elections. Peter Fraser, who was New Zealand's Prime Minister from 1940 to 49, was born in Easter Ross in the Highlands. Scottish emigrants also introduced sporting, musical and literature activities to help them keep links with home. Highland games were held in different areas, and other Scots also played sports such as golf, curling and shinty. One of the most obvious links that Scotland has to New Zealand exists even today, and that's the name of Dunedin's main rugby team, the Highlanders. This team, which was in fact set up in the 1990s, was given this name due to the influence of early Scottish settlers in the area. Scots set up clubs and groups to promote their musical heritage. Burns clubs would hold annual Burns suppers and had readings during the year, and these groups would play the bagpipes or hold ceilidhs involving Scottish instruments such as the fiddle. Like in other countries, the Scots named places in their new home after locations in Scotland. Names such as Kelso and Bannockburn can be found in New Zealand, and one of the country's biggest cities, Dunedin, means Edinburgh in Gaelic. Aspects of language and dialect were also affected by Scottish emigrants. For many years, Gaelic was spoken in different areas, and in some parts of New Zealand's South Island, they still have a form of speech which is similar to Scottish pronunciation. Scottish emigrants have in fact even influenced holidays in New Zealand. Otago Anniversary Day is a public holiday which marks the arrival of the first Scottish settlers in Dunedin, and Tartan Day is a modern day celebration of Scottish links. The Scots who travelled to New Zealand also had an impact on native societies. The native New Zealanders, known as Maoris, often had very difficult links with Scots. There are instances of good relations between the two groups, but also the relationship was sometimes marked by extreme violence. Initially, there was positive relations between Scots and the Maoris. Scots traded with the native peoples that they met, and the Maoris responded by helping the Scots to survive winters in the area, including supplying food. However, land issues inevitably led to arguments between the Scots and Maoris. The Scots wanted land to start farms and set up towns, but this often meant taking control of land which was used by the Maori people, especially in the Otago area. Scottish farms being set up across New Zealand also had a major effect on the environment, as this resulted in the mass clearance of trees to create suitable land. This had a significant impact on the way Maori people moved and hunted, and again led to tensions. Partly to try and stop these land disagreements, some Scots made deals with the Maoris to buy land, but this in turn often led to other problems. For instance, even after purchasing land, it was not always clear who owned the land in the first place, or else the Scots would claim land had in fact not been sold. The 1843 Treaty of Waitangi was a legal agreement between the British government and Maori tribes. The British wanted this to allow them to buy land, and some Maoris wanted to agree to this in order to get military help from Britain against French forces that were in New Zealand. The treaty agreed Maori ownership of land, and also the fact that the British government was the only body that was authorised to buy this land. However, the treaty was not backed by all Maoris, and many leaders urged others to reject the deal. The deadliest period in links between the Scots and the Maoris were the New Zealand Wars from 1845 to 1872. This involved regular battles and hostilities between settlers and the Maoris, often caused by arguments about land purchases. Examples of battles during this were the Northern War and the East Cape War. It is estimated that around 3,000 people died as a result of these conflicts, around 750 deaths and more than 2,000 Maori casualties. Many of the Scots that did go to New Zealand went so as missionaries, hoping to convert the native people to Christianity. However, many Maoris did not change their religion and were angry at the Scots' dismissal of their beliefs. Many Maoris did change their religion though, and they built good links with the Scottish missionaries. There was even instances of missionaries trying to protect Maoris during periods of conflict between the Scots and native peoples. Some Scots in fact married Maori people, although these relationships often led to criticisms. Some churches later sent Scottish women to the islands solely for the purpose of being the wives of male missionaries and to prevent Scottish and Maori marriage.